Welcome to the Bridge International Church, an English-speaking church located in the western suburbs of Paris. Here at the Bridge, we are committed to helping you to discover God's plan for your life, relate to others, grow in your relationship with God, and experience life in the freedom of Christ. Join us as we listen to this week's message from the Bridge.
Well, hey, we are in week 5 of our series called Jesus Changes Everything. It's a series going through the book of Matthew. And I don't know about you, but I feel like God is doing something really special in our church during this series on the book of Matthew that we're doing. About a year ago, I was starting to kind of dream about maybe what we would preach about. I knew that Todd and Amanda were leaving in the summer, but I thought they were coming back, and that plan changed. But I felt God speaking to me and telling me that we should go through the book of Matthew. So that's what we're doing, and I feel like God is just doing something really exciting in our congregation as we preach through this series. So if you've been keeping up with the reading guide, you should have hit Matthew 14 this weekend. And if you have not received a reading guide yet, those are available at the connection point right outside. They're available in English or in French so that you can read along with us as we preach through this. But if you've been keeping up with your reading guide, you know that we've just read through where John the Baptist was beheaded. John the Baptist was a very close friend of Jesus. It was Jesus' cousin, and he was beheaded by Herod. And then after John the Baptist was beheaded, it says that Jesus was grieving very deeply, and he was hoping to get away to pray. But a crowd was following him around, as usual. And Jesus stopped and taught the crowd and fed the crowd. And so we pick up the story after John the Baptist has died and Jesus has fed the 5,000. And we pick this up in Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 33. And these verses will be on the screen for you if you don't have a Bible with you. So Matthew writes, "Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat," like immediately after he fed the 5,000, "and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified." I would have been terrified too. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," Jesus said. And then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Let's just take a moment to pray as we jump into this today. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, God, for the gift you have given us through scripture. And we pray today, Father, that as we delve into this story, as we apply your words to our lives, we pray that you would make the scripture come alive to us. God, that it wouldn't just be words on a page, but that you would illuminate your words, make them come alive, Father. We pray for a supernatural understanding of the word today. We pray that you would speak to all of us, no matter what we've come in here with, no matter what situation we're in, that you would speak to us through your word today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. The first thing I want to talk about from this story is the very first part here where it says that Jesus sent the disciples away and then he went up alone to pray. I think that it's really important for us to take a moment here and acknowledge the fact that Jesus was grieving. Jesus was grieving the loss of his friend and his family member. And rather than continue on with the ministry, rather than continue on with what God had called him to do, he had to take a moment to be alone with God and to pray. And what this does is, this is another point where Matthew shows us the humanity of Christ. Jesus knew about the resurrection. Jesus knew that he would see John the Baptist again, but he still deeply grieved. And I don't know about you guys, but it brings me a lot of comfort to know that Jesus has felt the things I have felt. It doesn't mean you're a bad Christian if you're sad or if you grieve or if you feel deep emotions, because Jesus also felt those things. He made himself fully human so that he could redeem us. But in diving into this, I want to talk about what this story shows us about following Jesus. This story shows us a few things about following Jesus and the interaction between Peter and Jesus. And the first thing this story shows us is that following Jesus requires courage. Following Jesus requires courage. Those verses we read a moment ago, verses 25 through 27, where Matthew writes, "Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. 'It's a ghost,' they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, 'Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid.'" Take courage. See, courage is what makes the difference between having an epic story, an epic adventure, and having an unfulfilled dream. I've had to make a lot of choices in my life between whether I wanted an awesome story to tell or whether I wanted to be safe and not take the risk that comes with having an awesome story to tell. On one of my first visits to Europe in 2007, long before I moved to Paris, I had a friend that was studying abroad in Rome. And I went to visit her in Rome, and we were, you know, young, and Europe was magical because neither of us lived there at that point. And one night we went to this little jazz club that was in the basement of this old building in Italy. It was amazing. And afterwards she said, "Why don't we go and see the Colosseum? Colosseum's on the list of things you want to see. Let's go see it." And at this point it's like midnight, and we are two young girls in Rome with no idea where we're going. And I was really tired because I go to bed early. I'm really a party animal. But there was this moment where I went, you know, I'd kind of like to go home and go to bed, but I bet if we go see the Colosseum tonight, we're going to come out of it with a cool story. And we ended up getting very lost and walking for 2.5 hours. And we finally got to the Colosseum at like 2:30 in the morning. But I look back on that night as this amazing evening where I'm walking around Rome at night with my best friend, and we are totally lost. And we could have been worried that it would be dangerous. We could have been, you know, like, "Oh, we'll be too tired in the morning if we do this." But instead, we decided that we wanted an epic story to tell. And I want you to know today that courage will be the difference between you having an amazing story to tell and you going home and going to bed. Throughout his time on earth, Jesus continually invited people into an amazing story. Over and over, he pulled the disciples out of their normal lives. It talks about how he went to a couple of the disciples and they were fishing because that was their job. They were fishermen. And he went and said, "Hey, put down your nets and come and follow me." And they did it. They put down their nets. They left their families. They left their careers. And they went to follow Jesus. Matthew was a tax collector when Jesus found him. And Jesus said, "Hey, man, I know this is crazy, but if you come and you follow me, you are going to come out of this with an unbelievable story." People left what they were doing to follow Jesus because every time they went somewhere with Jesus, they came back with an unbelievable story. They came back to their friends and their friends were like, "Hey, what happened today with Jesus?" And they were like, "You will never believe what happened today. We were walking through this crowd and this super weird old lady crawled through and grabbed his robe and she was healed. And she was like so nasty because she'd been sick for 12 years and Jesus healed her. It was the craziest thing." And their friends were probably like, "Whoa, that's really crazy. Well, I got to go to work tomorrow. So good luck tomorrow with Jesus." Jesus invites us onto an incredible adventure when we decide to follow him. But it takes courage. I want to ask you today if you have the courage to step into the amazing adventure that Jesus has for you. Andy Stanley, a pastor in the U.S., says this about courage. He says, without courage, we will simply accumulate a collection of good ideas and regrets. I'm 34 years old, so I don't consider myself really old yet. Some of you, like Rachel and Mariana, might consider me old, but you'll get yours someday. Just wait around and you'll be old like me. But even at my age, I'm starting to have a lot of friends who have a lot of regrets because they didn't have the courage to do what God was asking them to do. And some of them look at their lives and they go, man, if I could have done things differently, I just feel like I'm wasting my life. And my dad is almost 60. Gordon is 60. Gordon and Christoph have this birthday club going on. But I see guys my dad's age, and they have an even deeper sense of regret because at one point in their life, Jesus invited them on an incredible adventure, and they said, no, I'd rather go home and go to bed. Thanks, Jesus, but I think I'm good. There's a story in the Bible where this guy comes to Jesus. He's a very rich man, very successful businessman. And he comes to Jesus and he goes, Jesus, I want an amazing story to tell. I want to follow you and I'm a good man. I keep God's laws, but I want something more. What do I have to do? And Jesus says, you have to sell all of your belongings and come and follow me. And the guy goes, I don't think I'm in it for that. I can't do it. I'm sorry. And he walks away from the incredible adventure that Jesus called him to. Maybe when you allow yourself to dream, Jesus gives you a vision of what your relationships could look like, of what your finances could do for the kingdom, or what the boldness of the Holy Spirit could change about your life. And Jesus says to you, I know it's scary. I know it's a risk, but take courage. It's me. I'm Jesus. Come to me. Have some courage. In John chapter 16, Jesus takes a moment to let the disciples know that sometimes life is not easy for Christians. And he says this, he says, very truly, this is Jesus talking, very truly I tell you, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. A woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come, but when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is born into the world. So it is with you. Now is your time of grief, but I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy. In that day, you will no longer ask me anything. Very truly, I tell you, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive and your joy will be complete. And then in verse 33, he says this. He says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Take heart, Jesus says. Jesus looks at us as his followers and he goes, listen, I know this life isn't easy for you. That's because you belong to a higher kingdom. And I know there's things the world rejoices at that grieves your soul, but joy is coming. Take heart, take courage. I have overcome the world. You see, Jesus wants more for you than a boring, mundane life. It says in the Bible that Jesus came so that we could have full, abundant life, full of wild joy. Jesus wants you to have an epic story to tell. And last week, we talked a little bit about our stories. And there's something so engaging about when someone tells you a story of how Jesus changed their life. There are stories in my family history that I've been told by my parents and my grandparents about incredible things God did in our family. And on the days when it's hard for me to believe, and on the days it's hard for me to be a follower of Jesus, I cling to those stories. And it's like Jesus is telling me, I've got a story like that for you. Don't give up. Take courage. Keep your eyes on me. We have to take courage. And we have to acknowledge the fact that if Jesus is telling us to take courage, it means that it can be scary to commit ourselves to being a follower of Jesus. But you're always going to come out of it with an epic story. We can have courage because we know how the story ends. We know how the story ends. We know that in this life, we will have trouble. We know that we face grief and pain in this life. But we know that ultimately Jesus is the victor and he will defeat evil and we will reign alongside him. That's what gives us courage. But it's important for us to realize that courage isn't just something we feel. We have to take action. The next part of the story shows us that following Jesus requires action of us. The next couple of verses in the story, Matthew writes, "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come out to you on the water." "Come," Jesus said. And then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. When Jesus asks us to have courage, it's not just so that we can feel brave or feel good about ourselves, although that often happens. We have to take action. We have to take a risk. The disciples who walked away from their lives, they didn't know what was going to happen, but they trusted Jesus. It's not like Jesus came to them and said, "Put your nets down and follow me." And they were like, "Jesus, we trust you and we love you so much. So we would like to follow you and we follow you in our hearts, but we're just going to stay here and keep fishing." And sometimes we do that as followers of Jesus where we're like, "In my heart, I trust you, Jesus, but in my actions, I'm going to do the responsible thing," right? Maybe as we've been talking about tithing more, maybe God is moving on some of your hearts to trust God with your finances and start practicing tithing. And every month when that paycheck comes in, or every week when that paycheck comes in, you go, "God, you know I trust you. I don't need to prove it by giving a check to the church. It's not about that. It's about my trust for you." If you don't put action behind it, where's the trust? Where's the courage? What's the proof of your faith if there's no action to back it up? James talks about faith without works is dead. So when you think about your relationship with the church maybe, and you go, "Well, the church isn't doing enough to take care of the poor." And then every month when we take our missions offering, you let the envelope pass you by and go, "Well, I pay my taxes. I don't need to give money to the church for the poor." Your courage has to be backed up by action if you want to see a change happen in the world. Peter has a decision to make. Peter has a decision to make. He can either step into an impossible situation by walking on the water, or he can stay on the boat. And Peter does three things here as he steps out of the boat. The first thing he does is he makes sure that it's Jesus calling him out onto the water. Peter says, "Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water." Peter wanted to make sure that this crazy thing he was about to do was what Jesus was asking of him. As I was researching this sermon, I found a news story about a pastor who decided he was going to walk on the water like Peter. And he was eaten by crocodiles when he did that, which is a tragic story, but also reminds us that we have to make sure it's Jesus calling us to do something and not just our own flesh wanting to put on a show or wanting to prove to Jesus how loyal we are. Jesus says, "If it's really you, tell me to come out to you on the water." Now I've done this before, and scripture tells us not to test God. But sometimes in our flesh, we need God to speak to us in a very clear way. And if you talk to anyone who's been following Jesus a long time, they probably have a crazy story of a time that Jesus asked them to do something impossible. And they said, "God, if it's you, I need you to do this crazy thing that I won't have any doubt that it's you." With these, we're negotiating right now to hopefully get into a building of our own. And it's blowing our minds because every step of the process with this building, we're going, okay, let's just lowball the offer by like, 40,000 euros a year. We'll just try that. And the owners are like, "Yeah, okay." You know, and we're like, okay, we're not ready for this, you know. But in this process, every step of the way, we're like, "Lord, if it's you, you've got to make it clear to us that it's you." When God asks you to do the impossible, you need to make sure it's God asking you to do the impossible and not a stupid idea that you came up with in your own head, okay? And as you grow in your relationship with God, you'll learn to sense his voice. You'll learn to sense his voice, but you have to make sure it's God. And I believe that when we let God know that we're willing to step out in obedience to him, he speaks to us. The second element of this here is that Peter's first goal, his primary objective, was to be near Jesus. He didn't want to show off for his friends. He didn't want to show everybody how holy he was. And I don't think he just wanted the excitement of being a guy who was walking on water. His primary objective was that he wanted to be near Jesus. He was in the boat. Jesus was over there. And he was like, I'm going to get to you, Jesus, however I can. Right now, the best case scenario is walking on the water. So I'm getting out of the boat. Here I come. Peter's first goal was to be near Jesus. You see, following Jesus is not about showing other people how holy we are. Following Jesus, making a decision to commit our life to Jesus, it's not just about realizing that we're inadequate, horrible people. It's about a Savior who has changed everything about our life, and we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know much, but all we know is that we have to be near him. See, Peter watched Jesus as he was inclusive of people the world had rejected. He watched Jesus as he's treated people with compassion. And Peter watched Jesus call things out in them that they were not yet. Jesus looked at people and he didn't see them as they were. He saw them as they could be. And Peter saw this happen over and over and over. And as he sat in that boat, he probably went, I'm probably out of my mind because I see Jesus walking on water and that's crazy. But there's something about this guy and I have to be where he is. I just have to be close to him. I don't know the theology. I don't know the doctrine. I might not be able to win an argument about the existence of Jesus, but I have to be near him because he's changed everything about my life. That's why Peter came away from it with an epic story. He didn't do it for the story itself. He did it to be where Jesus was. The third thing that Peter did is he got out of the boat. There was a physical action that took place as a response to the change that had happened in Peter's heart. There was a physical result to Peter's faith. So I want to ask you today what action God is asking you to take. A lot of times the way that God works in my life is that he bugs me about something until I can't deny it anymore. A lot of times when Jesus is asking me to step out of my comfort zone, to step out of the boat, he speaks to me about it so much that I can't ignore it. But Jesus always gives us a choice of whether or not we're going to step out of the boat. When he called the disciples to follow him, he gave them a choice. That's why some people chose not to follow Jesus, because he won't force you. He invites you. He invites you to come, to step out of the boat, to step out of everything that you've known that's comfortable, and to believe that maybe a new reality is possible for you in your life. What is the new reality that might be possible for you if you take a step of obedience into what God is inviting you into? The third thing that following Jesus requires is it requires getting back up. Verses 30 through 33, the end of this story. It says, when Peter saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said, why did you doubt? And when Jesus and Peter climbed back into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, truly you are the Son of God. Peter here has a failure of faith. And I don't know about you guys, but I've had a few failures of faith in my life. There have been times when Jesus has invited me into a story and I have said, thanks, Jesus, I'd rather go home and go to bed. I'm not up for your crazy adventures today. There have been times when God was leading me to do something, leading me to talk to someone or speak a word of faith over someone, and I said no because I was scared. I took my eyes off of Jesus and I started looking at the circumstance around me and I had a failure of faith. Sometimes we're afraid to make a decision for Jesus because, man, what if I don't make it? What if I tell all my friends that I've become a Christian? What if I tell my spouse or I tell my kids, hey, I'm going to follow Jesus now. I'm going to do better than I did before. I'm going to allow Jesus to change me. And then I do that thing again that I promised Jesus I wouldn't do. Or then I yell at my spouse again, or then I mess up again in the way I've messed up 1,000 times. I better not make a commitment to follow Jesus until I get my life cleaned up. Let me tell you something. If you decide to follow Jesus, you will fall. You will sink into the waves sometimes. I've been following Jesus a long time, and I still have failures of faith. But the Bible says that when we are faithless, God is still faithful to us. Jesus does not expect perfection from you. He just wants you to have faith. When Jesus told Peter, when he said, "You have little faith, why did you doubt?" to Peter, what he was saying to Peter was, "You were almost there. You had your eyes right on me. You were almost there, but you gave up a little bit too soon." But even with that, the grace of Jesus was enough that he didn't let Peter sink. If I was Jesus, I would want to teach these guys a lesson, which is, you know, it's good I'm not Jesus. But I would have let Peter sink and maybe drown a little bit and be like, "Now, Peter, if you did what I told you to do, this wouldn't have happened," you know. But Jesus is so full of grace that it says he was ready to catch Peter. If you've ever watched someone teach a child to walk, or you've ever watched a baby learning to walk, what usually happens is the parent is just out of reach and the baby's walking and falling everywhere. The parent doesn't let the baby fall on its face. They're right there ready to catch them so that they don't fall and hit their head. And the parent doesn't berate the child and say, "Man, you're a year old. Get it together and start walking. And then you're going to learn to use the toilet because I'm tired of this." No, the parent takes great joy in the steps the child takes. Even if the kid doesn't take a full step, especially if it's your first kid, the parents are like, "Get the phone, get the phone. They almost took a step." The kid like fell forward, but that's beside the point. But you have such deep pride as a parent, even though the child isn't walking yet. You would never say to a child who is learning to walk, "We've been doing this for a long time and I'm ready for you to start running now, so this is ridiculous." No, there's great joy in the process, and there's great joy at the moment that one step becomes three steps, and three steps becomes seven steps. Even before the kid is walking and they're just pulling themselves up on a table, it's like, "Oh, look at them, they're growing, I can't believe it, this is so cool." So why would we think that when we become followers of Jesus, he would be waiting in judgment for us to fail? No, Jesus is calling us onto an epic adventure, and he knows it's going to take us time to grow. And he's right there with us as we start walking. And every time we fall, and we're going to fall, every time we fall, he's there and he's going, "Okay, get back up. It's okay. It's okay. Did you notice how you took five steps that time instead of three? You're growing. It's getting better." And sometimes we put this pressure on ourselves that if we decide to follow Jesus, if we fall or if we fail, we're going to do irreparable damage to the kingdom of God. Let me tell you something. The kingdom of God existed a long time before you came around, and it's going to continue to exist a long time after you're gone. Jesus loves you enough that he wants you to grow. He wants you to take a risk. He wants you to get out of the boat and take action, even if you fall down. And no matter how many times you have to start over, no matter how many times he has to pull you out of those waves, he's going to be there to pull you up every time you ask him to. He's done it for me, and he's going to do it for you. Jesus wants you to live an epic story. Mariana, would you come? So maybe you're here today, and the part of this that connects with you is this idea of having courage. And maybe you sit there and you go, "Man, I can't even take action because I'm afraid to even allow myself to consider the possibility of following Jesus. I have no courage and I'm terrified." Listen, the reason that Peter had courage was because of his relationship with Jesus. Peter was a mess. We're going to talk more about Peter next week. But man, Peter made a lot of mistakes, and Peter was pretty terrified. In fact, Peter was such a scaredy cat that on the night that Jesus was crucified, he lied to people and said he had never met Jesus because he was so afraid of what might happen to him. Peter was terrified. But Jesus changed everything for Peter. And Jesus can change everything for you. Maybe it's time for you to take action. Maybe you have courage. Maybe you do trust God, but you haven't backed it up with your actions yet. And today, as I shared about that, God was reminding you of something that he's asking of you, and you haven't been able to trust him quite enough to take action. Or maybe you're here today and you're sinking into the waves, like Peter was. And at one point you were walking on the water, you had courage, you got out of the boat, and you started this life with Jesus, and you started to sink below the waves, and you just kind of feel like giving up. I want you to know today that Jesus wants you to come out of those waves. He wants to pull you out of those waves and help you to walk on water again. He wants to take you to safety and put you back in the boat. But you got to let him pull you out of the waves this morning. Would you guys stand with me? Mariana's going to lead us in one last song. And it's kind of becoming the system around here, how we do things. But if you're in any of these situations, we want to know we're available to pray with you. I'm going to ask Joel to go over to this front corner here and Gordon to go over to this front corner. Joel can pray with you in French. I'm going to stay up here available to pray with you. And sometimes your faith isn't strong enough to pray by yourself and you need someone to pray for you. So we're available for you in that way. And sometimes you just need to hear from God, just you and God. And if that's the case, they're going to lead us in one more song. You can just stay at your seat and take a moment and ask God to speak to you. Or maybe you're good right now and you're in a season where you're just walking on water and you're having a great time. Then you can just worship during this next song. But we want to create space for you to encounter God today. And if you're in that place of needing courage, I would just ask you to just consider what might happen. Just allow yourself to consider the possibility that Jesus could change everything for you. Let's sing the song together. If you're here today and you're not yet a follower of Jesus, you've never made a decision to follow Jesus, and if you want to make that decision today, if you're ready to become a follower of Jesus today, would you just raise your hand and indicate that to me? I'm not going to make you come to the front or anything like that. I just want to be able to pray for you. If you're here today and you'd like to become a follower of Jesus for the first time, just raise your hand so I can pray for you. Let's just pray together as we close this morning. God, we thank you for your word that is so powerful. God, that somehow these ancient stories speak to our hearts in such a powerful and a real way. God, we thank you for the way that you speak to us through your word. And Lord, I pray for each one here. God, I pray for the one here that needs courage. Give us courage, Father. Give us boldness through your Holy Spirit. Help us to remember that we are not alone, we are not unseen, and we are not forgotten. We are on the winning team as your followers. We thank you for giving us courage, Father. And God, I pray for those who need to take their faith to the next step and take an action step. God, give them courage. Help us to trust you more. Help us to trust you enough to get out of the boat and to engage in the incredible adventure that you have for us. And God, for the one here who doesn't follow you yet, God, I pray courage. Pray that you would speak to our hearts. We thank you so much for speaking to us today, Jesus. We thank you for your presence. And God, I pray for each one here as they leave this place and as they go to their homes, their places of business, to their schools. God, that you would surround them with your presence, that you would speak to them in ways they never expected. May your presence surround us today and every day, Father. We thank you so much. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like to get in touch or find out more about the Bridge International Church, please visit our website, www.thebridgeparis.com.